Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 1st, 2024, and we're reading in the Big Book, We're in We Agnostics, page 56, the fourth paragraph. We're just reading that fourth paragraph, starting with, this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, ending with, he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. All right, and our readers, so we have for the steps, we have Tenzin P., the traditions, Joni C. Reading the text is Jen A. Page 164 is Benita L. Our newcomer greeters, Tony B. Second hour host is Matt J.F. And announcements is Kathy S. All right. The reference numbers for yesterday, October 31st, 2024, Thursday. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,877. That's 21,877. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,878. 21,878. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There's no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P. is going to take care of the steps for us right now.
Yes, good morning, everyone. It's Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Appreciate it. Next up is Joni C. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right. Thank you, Joni and Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone except the speakers should be muted. Yeah, everyone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book when we agnostics. We are on page 56, the fourth paragraph, starting with this announce that he tumbled out of bed. And we're just going to read that paragraph. And Jen A is going to hook it up today. She's going to do our reading today.
Hey, Rusty, thanks. This is Jen A, recovered in Colorado. Page 56. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees, and in a few seconds, he was overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built through the years were swept away. He stood in the presence of infinite power and love. He had stepped from bridge to shore. And for the first time, he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. So, you know, it's talking about a man who's an atheist. And for me, how I read We Agnostics and how it kind of played out for me was I wasn't an atheist. You know, I was a born-again Christian. I grew up Catholic at the time, but I was going to church. I was serving God. In ministry, I went to a building, I opened a book, I knelt in the pew, I believed, I read every book of the Bible, learned it, memorized it, and tried to live it to the best of my ability. The difference was is that there was something blocking me from God, and that was my addiction to food and how I used food to numb out and solve my problems. And I never used God for that. I just prayed all the time. And then even when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I sat in the seats of membership and I said, I wish I may, I wish I might not have one more stinking bite. And then I go right back out and eat again. I go right back out and exercise, shove my finger down my throat, and be vomiting again, restricting pills and potions. That's what I did. But you know what? As soon as I embarked on this journey, put the food down entirely, stopped doing those behaviors, and it didn't all happen at once. Like, I wasn't perfect. It happened over a period of time. That's when this power of God could come in, the presence of God. Wow, how cool is it? You know, most people have a white light experience, I guess. This guy did. I surely didn't, you know. Mine was more like the quote-unquote, what the book calls the dimmer switch. It was a spiritual change, you know. And I'm just here to say, look, there's no magic food plan. There's no magic meeting. There's no magical sponsor waving a wand, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. When I turn around, I'm going to be thin, beautiful, and, you know, a size perfect, and my life is going to be completely manageable, and I'm going to have everything I want. That's not what this program promises me. What this program promises me in this way of life is that God's going to come in, and he can do the miraculous for me on a daily basis if I rely on him and trust in him. Because it says his power and love is what? It's inconceivably greater than I ever could imagine. And today I've witnessed that for 7 years of my life. And the people in program that I've lived this out with, you know, the sponsors, the friendships, the people who have taken my 10 steps, who have heard my stories, and who have listened to the miraculous ways that God has showed up in my life are privy to that. You know, that's the miracle that they see. So, you know, pain is the greatest motivator. It does get people to change. It got me to change. And I'm just so, so thankful. I'm so, so thankful. Today, you know, when it talks about getting onto his knees, every morning I pray some prayers in bed. I roll out of my bed and I get onto my knees. I say, good morning, Lord. Help me set aside everything I think I know for a whole new experience with you, the big book, people in my work, whatever comes to my mind at the time that I know I'm dealing with. And God does the miraculous every single day when I let him in. So with that, I pass. Thanks, Rusty.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate it. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared Wednesday or yesterday, please step back without other people to share. And whoever wants to share, take it easy on me.
Janet B.
Melissa.
Rick J.
Lynn S.
So Rick.
Claire E. from the UK.
Okay, Lynn.
Christina J.
Claire. Christina.
Rick J.
Carolyn S.
I got you, Rick. Got you, bro.
Leanne F.
Leanne F. There was
Carolyn
a Claire F. from the UK. I just didn't get your first initial of your. I think it's Clary. I think. All right. No worries. Who else? Keep it coming.
Carolyn F. York.
Carolyn. All right, that's a great list. Janet B., Melissa C., Rick J., Lynn S., I believe it's Clary, Christina J., Leanne F., and Carolyn S. Janet B., you're up. Star one, Janet.
Good morning. Janet B. from North Carolina. So ending yesterday, right with that line, with God actually talking to him, saying, who are you to say there is no God? And before this paragraph we read today, he does something. They talk about it in our Southern friend, the story on page 215. After he gets that message from God, he gets out of bed, goes back to his friend's room and says, how does prayer fit into this thing? And his friend answers, well, you've probably tried praying like I have. When you've been in a gym, you said, God, do this or that. And if it turned out your way, that was the last of it. And if it didn't, you said, there isn't any God, or he hasn't done anything for me. Is that right? He said, yes. Well, an aside, isn't that how we all use God, right? Treating God like a genie in a bottle. Come out and do this for me. Remove my food obsession. Make this happen. And then go back in your bottle and leave me alone. Treating God like a servant. But this is how his fellow asylum patient advised him to pray. He said, "The thing I do is to say, 'God, here I am. Here are all my troubles. I've made a mess of things and can't do anything about it. You take me and all my troubles and do anything you want with me. Does that answer your question?'" And the man said, "Yes." Well, his friend had basically told him to do a third step, right? That's when we surrender our will and our life to God and say, "God, do whatever you want with me." And then what was the result when he did that? He tumbled out of bed to his knees. We can only assume he did his third step. He did his surrender. And he was overwhelmed by the presence of God. And how did he describe it? Infinite power and love. Okay, so I know this is America, and people can say, well, I can think what I want. And yes, our book tells us we can have what any conception of God we want, provided it makes sense. Here's the conception that to me makes the most sense. Infinite power and love, enough power to remove my food obsession, enough love to really care about me no matter what I'm going through. That is the God that this program introduces us to and that we all have access to through these 12 steps. Infinite power and love, not a doorknob, not even the group. Y'all can love me, but you can't infuse me with power. Infinite power and love, as long as we just surrender to his loving will. And then we can, every single one of us, experience what this guy did, which after experiencing the infinite power and love, he never drank again. That can be our future. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Appreciate it. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Rick J.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Russ, so much for your service this morning. Good to hear you on this Friday. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and happy to go right after my friend who, like, nailed that line, that infinite power and love. And, you know, speak from my experience with being someone who had a lot of anger towards God and a lot of feeling like God didn't do for me, you know, like I'm not getting what I want here out of life. And that was a struggle for me to find a conscious companionship. And I, you know, I had it wrong. I thought that a friend, you know, this companionship is somebody who delivers the goods for me, who gives me what I want at all times. And, you know, and the problem is I have a very narrow perspective, and what I want is only seen from my perspective. I don't have the big picture. Circumstances made me willing to believe, which was I was crushed, and I had no other options left. And what happened for me is that I have had bright light experiences, but of the, you know, in steps, in measured increments, I had moments where I was like, whoa, there is something infinitely powerful and infinitely loving, and I need that. That is what I needed all along. I had a huge knowledge base of what to eat nutritionally, and I couldn't put it into application. I couldn't apply it. I knew the things I was supposed to do, and yet I couldn't seem to do it. And when I surrendered, when I said, you know what, I got, maybe I do have this all wrong. Maybe I don't know how life was supposed to unfold for me. Maybe I just need to have acceptance for my circumstances. What's happened for me is that I have had moments where I have felt deep despair in recovery, and I have leaned into the presence of infinite power and love. And I have had conscious contact with my Creator. I feel today that what I have is a God that's my BFF, that is my real friend, that has my back. And when I walk through life that way, I don't really want to eat compulsively anymore. I just want to do what I believe God would have me do. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Rick J., followed by Lynn S.
Hey, good morning, Russ, and thanks so much for your service. And my name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And Yeah, I'm loving the shares. I really am. Jen kicking us off, and Janet and Melissa. Yeah, and it's that this presence, you know, it's talking about this presence and this feeling of a connection with it. You know, and that connection, you know, it's growing and strengthening, you know, all the time. As long as I'm doing the spiritual actions that they tell me to do. And I just love that I can live in this presence of infinite power and love. And one thing, I was looking at the last sentence here in this paragraph, for the first time he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. And it's wild because, you know, for years I've read, you know, in the big book, and for some reason, every time I had seen that word conscious, I always thought it said constant. I always thought it said, you know, he lived in constant companionship with his creator. And, you know, when it says conscious companionship, and that's just this beautiful revelation that I've just had this morning when I was contemplating this paragraph, you know, and it is this conscious contact, you know, and step 11 is all about improving that conscious contact. But before we get there, you know, we are, you know, we do in three, we make this decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of this God as we understood him, you know, very emphatically. You know, they let us know it's whatever we understand, and that's cool. But I do need this power to be so much bigger than me and that I cannot understand, that I can give everything I have to this power and feel like that I am going to be taken care of and loved no matter what. And that's my connection. But that conscious companionship, it's that beautiful feeling, that beautiful connection with this power that I don't understand, but I can't explain it, but I know how it feels. It's just hard to describe that feeling. It's just hard to describe it, but I know when I'm there and I know when I'm not. I know when I'm not. And I love it that I can pause throughout the day and reconnect as needed and talk to someone and give away a 10th step as needed and say the prayers that in my heart and my mind connect me to this power. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate you, brother. Next up is Lynn S., followed by Clary. I think it's Clary.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. I went to my first OA meeting, and I came home. And I remember I'd heard, pray to God and thank him for what you want as if you already have it. So I prayed to a God I didn't believe in or didn't know even if he existed and asked for help. And I went to bed as a woman that was driven by food and couldn't put anything in my mouth because the minute I started eating, I couldn't stop. And I woke up the next morning, and I hadn't gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning and gone to get all my binge foods. I had slept through the night, which is what I'd asked for. Help me sleep through the night and not get up and binge. And when I woke up, along with lying, cheating, swearing, stealing, and littering, the desire to compulsively overeat was lifted. And as much as that was a miracle from my life, what really was standing in the presence of infinite power and love. I remember waking up and coming to the kitchen, standing there, and none of the cupboard doors were open and nothing was disturbed. And just standing there saying, I can't believe it's a miracle I slept through the night. And that beat everything. that beat everything, was to be in this presence of infinite power and love that I had never, ever experienced in my life before, or wanted or craved. I'd had no religious training, no relationship with God. I shut the door on God when my best friend died at 21 and had no use for this God thing at all. But to stand there and feel this infinite power and love, and I love this, for the first time in my life in 36 years, I was in conscious companionship with my Creator. I am so grateful. That is the incredible gift of program. That is what the whole text is about. And my job is to keep that relationship with God vibrant and alive. And how do I do that? By following His will, aligning it with God's. And how do I do that? Follow the first 164 pages of this book the best way I can. I am so grateful to be able to read this paragraph this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate it. So before Claire jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. We're in We Agnostics, page 56, the fourth paragraph. We're just reading one paragraph. And it's, this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, and ending with, he lived in conscious companionship with his Creator. So Claire, you are up.
Thanks, Russ. My name's Claire E. You're right. And I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic from Cornwall in the UK. It's really good to be on the meeting. I've had some problems phoning in recently, so it's nice to be live. And I hope you can hear me on this new app I've got. I used to hate this story. I really did. It was just this whole sort of, oh, this wonderful, oh, you know, a rise. And, you know, suddenly they've got the presence of God, and it was as easy as that. When I struggled and struggled and struggled for years with relapse and agnosticism and everything else. And I think for a long time, I was in and out of OA with the hope that I would sort of get it by osmosis. I think I went to a lot of meetings. I used to sit there and hope that someone would at some point say something that would sort of be my spiritual awakening, and this would happen to me. You know, there'd be sort of this amazing sort of sudden experience, and I would never want to eat again, and that would be that. And, you know, that's just not been my experience in this program. There was no magic person that sort of said that. I echo what was said in the first share. There was no magic food plan. There was no magic person. There was no magic sponsor. There was no magic anything. What did happen was that I could see that other people, you know, that were working it were well. And, you know, really that was where it comes to the paragraph before, you know, is it possible that all, you know, is it possible that they're all wrong and I'm right? Well, that's no, because they're all well and I'm not. You know, I had my head down the toilet and they were all seemingly living, you know, good lives where they said they had faith in a higher power. And so for me, you know, my spiritual awakening has been gradual. And you know what? It has been, as it says in step 12, as the result of working the steps. You know, I've had this spiritual awakening. And I do have these moments. I have these lovely, you know, I'm an addict. I love this, you know. So I'm completely overwhelmed with the presence of God. And I feel at one, and I feel like everything just fitting into place. And everybody is just water off the duck's back. And I feel just in a little spiritual bubble. I love those days. You know, those are brilliant. For me, that's not a permanent state. You know, that comes and it goes. And what I really love with this paragraph is that word conscious companionship. And it talks elsewhere in the book with constant companionship. And that's what I need to aim for. I need to be awake and I need to be constant with companionship with my higher power. I need to bring my higher power into everything. And know that, you know, this too shall pass. You know, the good, wonderful sort of what I don't know about the Americans, but in the UK, there used to be this advert for porridge and there'd be this like glow around this kid in this advert. It's called Ready Brett Glow. And, you know, those days are fantastic, but they're not every day. Sometimes I have to trudge the road of happy destiny. I just have to keep putting the footwork in and trust that those moments of just feeling that amazing presence of God will come back to me if I keep doing the right thing and keep working the program. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about that. It's good to be here and share, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire. Next up is Christina J.
Hey.
By Leanne.
Excuse me. Can
Can I have the last initial and the state for Lynn that shared before Claire?
Lynn S. She's in Toronto. Lynn S.
Thank you.
And all right, thanks. Christina J's up, followed by Ian F.
Hey, Russ. Hey, everyone. Christina J in North Carolina. This is such a gift we have, such a gift that this unconscious awareness of God has risen up to be in our consciousness. And, you know, when I was a kid, I had so much turmoil in my life, and it just followed through me for, you know, after me for so long, and food was such the solution. And we would go to church, and as a little kid, 10 years old, 11 years old, I felt it. I raised my hands. I sang with the people in the church. I wanted to be in the choir. I felt that presence. And we would leave church, and we'd go back to the turmoil, and I'd forget. Working this program allows me to stay in that conscious contact with this thing within me, you know, and I tumble out of my bed every day, and I go to my chair. And depending on what state of mind or body I'm in, because I don't have an awakening that has changed my entire life, I have had spiritual experiences, and my spiritual experiences happen when I reach out to God, when I do my two-way prayer, when I pray desperately. And sometimes the prayers start out dry, very dry, just going through it. And pretty soon I'm sinking into, and I'm sinking into the presence, and I feel that, and I'm overwhelmed by it, and it sets my day. You know, it talks about deep down within, you know, is the consciousness of this great creator. And I'm so grateful that program has brought me to that, and the church brought me to that, but the program teaches me how to continue to have it. Because if I don't have it on a daily basis, like someone else shared, to pause and get back to it, I'm going to pause and go to the food. Because I've been going through a lot of things since this hurricane. and I've got to have it now. To be buried in the horror of the food is not an option. It's horrific. And so I'm just grateful for the gift. I'm grateful for the gift and all that wrote this book and all the shares and all the fellows and all of us at various stages that we get to share and hear the journey that helps us all. The three-minute ministries every day on this line have saved my ass over and over and over. You know, but in the morning, I want to say this. We don't just sit in the dark, you know, and stare out at the dark and wonder how we're supposed to connect. We take action. He does something. You know, he tumbles out of bed. He takes the action. He goes to his knees and begins to pray. I tumble out of bed and I go to my chair and I begin to pray and I begin to do this and that and the other. And I'm walking towards the light. I don't just sit in the dark with it. I walk toward, I do something, even if it feels dry. And I'll finish up with my second husband used to tell me, honey, I know we get up, we do these prayers every day and they feel like dry and rote because they're not a big Pentecostal church service where you're jumping up and down and, you know, letting out those emotions. But you do these every day and your life will change. And this is program. You do this every day and your life will change. Love you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Leanne F., followed by Carolyn S.
Hi, this is Leanne S. as in Sam from Florida, and I'm recovering from anorexia and food addiction. And this story reminded me of my first day of abstinence, and it was a real spiritual experience, and it catapulted me into 15 years. The willingness that I got that day carried me through 15 years of abstinence. And then in my mid-50s, a whole new set of fears came upon me, and I began to act out in my anorexia behaviors to the point where I needed another intervention from God. And recently, I got some blood work that shows I am completely wearing myself out too much, and that's part of my disease. And God knows what it takes to sober me. Oftentimes I have prayed, please bring me to a place where I can become willing. Bring me to a place. He can't make me willing and he can't do it for me. but he can get me there where I still have the choice to choose him or to choose me. And sometimes nothing's strong enough but extreme crisis, unfortunately. And I'm feeling certain things just bring me to a state of being sober, sober-minded. Sober-minded to me is, it's almost like the word surrender means relax to me, relax, because it's completely opposite of my hyper personality. And I am just grateful that God knows what it takes for me. And I continue to ask him to please bring me to a place of surrender. Bring me to a place of the willingness and ability to allow you to take over. I recently was reading a book and it said, you know, extreme deprivation and extreme overconsumption is the same coin. And God is just not in the extreme. And I'll always remember that spiritual experience from that first day where I actually allowed the food into my body. And it was just this hot oil felt like it poured all over me. And I felt like there was a big warm hand on my back. And it just carried me through all those years. And I almost felt like I needed a refreshing. And I don't like that a crisis has to be a refreshment for me. But whatever it takes for me to be right with God, being right with God is like everything. And without abstinence, I really don't have anything. So I'm just grateful that he knows what it takes and I still have a chance for life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne. S. And I think she was from Florida. Okay, next up is Carolyn S. And then we're going to take another list.
Hi, this is Carolyn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Thank you guys all for being here. I love the fact that even if I stray for a bit, which I haven't lately, thank God, you guys are all here. And yeah, this chapter, it like gets right to the heart of all the doubts I've had in my life before finding my higher power, which I call God. This line, if there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me, is the last paragraph. And that was kind of how I looked at it. It was, you know, transactional. Okay, I'll believe if you give me XYZ, you know, Santa Claus. And that's not how it works. And also when bad things happen, I'm like, well, you know, if there were a God, this wouldn't happen. Again, I'm one very fallible human who does not have the power to comprehend, much less do what God does. There's two lines in the big book that are the heart of everything for me. One is, who are you to say there is no God? Okay, the sentence before this paragraph. And why don't you choose your own conception of God? My whole program hangs on these two lines. Especially who are you to say there is no God? I mean, like, am I assuming that I am more important than every other person, every other life form in the, not just the planet, but the universe? Am I it? No, of course not. But I acted as if I was because I didn't want to believe in a God. And it's there's so much to be gained by believing. Infinite power and love. But again, I don't give God directions. I do his work as best I can. I try to, you know, feel his presence, but I try to figure out what he wants me to do and to do it. To, you know, kind of do that belly barometer, like, this feels yuck. I guess we don't do this. And it's not just the food. The things in life that I want to do or don't want to do, that belly barometer will guide me. And to finally find, you know, my higher power and live in conscious companionship is the biggest gift I think I could ever have received, that anyone can ever receive, is to know we are not alone and that our companion is infinite in its capacity for love, infinite and for forgiveness, and you know, unlimited in power. So, you know, he can be taken care of things all over the world at the same time. He can be overseeing, you know, floods and famine. It doesn't mean that he has less time or, you know, desire to help me, because he is infinite. So me fighting food and somebody starving somewhere, I mean, not equally important by any means, but to know God can handle both, no sweat. And that is a gift. Thank you. I pass.
Perfect timing. Awesome. So y'all know where we're at. In We Agnostics, page 56, the fourth paragraph. We're just reading that paragraph, and the lines are, we got time for maybe about, I don't know, maybe five shares. So if you didn't share on Wednesday or Thursday, please come on up. Who's up? Who's up?
Tammy G from Virginia.
Laura.
Yes, Kelly.
Connecticut.
Penny C.
Okay. Kelly. There was someone from Connecticut. I know Penny C. I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from Connecticut.
Loretta A.
Yeah, that was Laura L. from Connecticut.
Laura,
Robin P. in
Laura.
London.
All right. Robin P. But before that, there was one other. Who was that before that? I got Penny C., Laura L. Kelly S. was first. Go ahead. All right, let's go with these four, and if we got time, we'll bang it out. So Kelly S., Laura L., Penny C., and Robin P. I think we'll have time.
Hey, good morning, Russ. So good to hear you on Friday this morning. Hey, guys, it's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wow, what a great meeting. What great shares. Somebody's not muted, so if you guys could press star one, it would be really helpful. Appreciate it.
Lost it, Kelly.
Can you hear me now?
Gotcha. That was
okay.
My fault. I muted you by accident.
Dude. Okay. Miss Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Glad to be here. Thanks for all the powerful shares, everybody. It's been awesome. Anyway, things that other people have said that I just really related to, you know, was like, you know, were all these religious people wrong? I don't know about the religious people, but I basically, were all you guys wrong, right? I've been in these rooms for decades, and I was hearing people share their experience, strength, and hope, talking about, you know, putting the food down, working the steps, and getting this change. And I'm like, what? I mean, really, and, you know, how long AA's been around? OA, all these people wrong? Possibly I haven't been following the instructions as laid out in the big book. I know that. I was that person looking for the magic sponsor, the magic meeting, the magic food plan, the magic retreat, magic workshop, you name it. I was always trying to create that last binge. You know, I'd read those stories. It would be like, people did that last binge, fell to their knees, sobbing, and never ate again. And I tried that. That didn't work, you know. And so, you know, it was basically desperation that got me willing to do everything this book says, everything my sponsor said, right? And, you know, I wanted that white light thing. I'm an addict, for God's sake. I want that experience, and I was seeking that. And, you know, I finally got desperate enough to go, quit seeking that and just follow the instructions, right? Do what you're told. So I put the food down 100% black and white. We've got to remember that. That was a message I didn't hear for decades. You know, I can't do it if I'm blocked. I can't find this power, right? I would hear about the entire psychic change. I'd hear about this rocket into the fourth dimension. What is that supposed to even mean, right? I'd never experienced it. I'd been abstinent for a year. I'd lose my 100 pounds here and there, but I never had that change. Well, guess what? You have to go through these steps and get this connection with this power in order to get that change, and I didn't get that, right? So now it's like I've been doing it, and I follow these steps, and I continue this work day in, day out, whether life is ebbing and flowing as it does. Life gets lifey. Things are hard. I keep on doing it regardless. Things get wonderful. Things get great. I keep on doing it regardless, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, what the hell? I have this relationship with power. I have a connection with God. I do have a conscious companionship. I do have a constant connection with God. I do stand in this infinite power and love. How did that happen?
You know, it has been that dimmer switch for me. But then all of a sudden I'm like, what a trip. How am I doing this? This is not me, right? How am I getting through the night that was shared earlier without eating? I don't know how the hell that's happening for me. I don't know how the heck I'm still abstinent. I don't know how I'm showing up different for people, being different in my relationships with my family, at coworkers. How am I doing that? That's God. But I didn't know that till I put down the food, worked the steps, and did it day in and day out and quit seeking that spiritual high, because it comes in time. It did for me. And then you look back and realize, oh my God, I've had a white light. But it was a dimmer switch of bright light. So with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kel. Appreciate you. Next up is Laura L., followed by Penny C.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Laura L. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered food addict, bulimic, compulsive eater, and restrictor of rest. Thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for your shares. It's been an amazing amazing meeting this morning. I love the term dimmer switch. I've probably heard it before, but hearing it today, it just rang true. I didn't have, a fall out of bed, thunder strike, whatever experience. It's been very gradual, painfully gradual, and the educational variety, as they say. But it's working. It's happening. I've been in program for 24 years now. In the last maybe 3.5, I've been coming to Vision and working the steps in a different way and working with sponsors in a different way than I have in the past. But I've used everything that I've used in the past, too. And it's just carrying the message, I think, is when I really feel that I'm, doing the will of my higher power as well as I always had a really hard time making decisions, grew up with absolutely feeling no sense of self or self-esteem or identity, and then my identity just became a pool of anger. I was just an angry, angry kid and depressed, and that's not a really good basis on which to make decisions, and just had extreme terror and fear and panic all the time. So, maybe that's why it's been so gradual for me. There's just a lot of junk to move aside so I can have that conscious contact. And I love how who said it was the conscious versus the constant contact in the realization this morning. And I thought that was really beautiful because conscious contact is, to me, that seems like, wow, if I could have that all the time. So I'm just, in shock and awe and humbled by the program. And because if an atheist, a former atheist like me, could do this, anybody can do this. And there's doubts, and sometimes I'm not 100%, but, I'm just so much happier in my life, and my life is a million times different, and my obsession with food is gone, and my other obsessions about my looks and how my weight is and my body is getting better all the time. Fears are still there, but they don't go away completely. I think I just learn how to take God's power and Goddess's will and love with me as I walk through the fears. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Perfect timing. Well, appreciate it. Next up is Penny C, followed by Robin P.
Good morning, Russ. It is really good to hear you again. Penny
good morning,
C. Penn. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, I don't share that often. I listen, and this chapter is just amazing. It's not my favorite chapter by any means, but it certainly is the one that hits me and changed me the most. So as I'm reading or listening this morning and I heard infinite power, it reminded me, and I don't remember seeing that before. I've read this book. I've read it with others. I've studied it it's going on 15 years that I've been listening to a meeting like this and going through the big book paragraph by paragraph. And I don't ever remember seeing infinite power before, but reminds me of a conversation I had with a fellow probably about 3-4 months ago. when we were talking about a dogma of my religion and hers, and I said, I believe this. I really believe it, but people have asked me, why do you believe that? And I said, I don't know. I don't know why I believe it. And she said something that was a spiritual awakening to me. She said, I believe it because my God is that powerful. And, oh, my goodness, it was just a casual conversation. And it turned out to be something that changed me in that short time. So I do believe that my God is that powerful. God has to be that powerful to have transformed a woman who was like me. I look back and I don't really recognize that woman as myself. I call her that woman. To be transformed into the person I am today, I work on not being judgmental. I was so narrow-minded. So if you didn't believe what I believe, I don't think you are going to be saved, you poor thing. And today I have every respect and honor whatever people tell me they believe or don't believe about their higher power. I just am so grateful for this program and for the 12 steps. And like someone else said, I don't remember seeing conscious contact. I thought it was constant contact too. So isn't it wonderful we take these paragraphs so slowly, one at a time, and be able to dissect them as we do and learn. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Penn. Appreciate it. Next up is Robin P. And I think this might be it, but we may have time for another. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you so much, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in London, usually in Costa Rica. And I'm just so grateful. You know, I was always relying on my own finite power, which was really sad. And just the definition of insanity, doing that same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. And, you know, the more I lean on God, the better things go. And when I am powerless, God is powerful. I will let him be powerful in my life today. And it's just all these miracles happen. Quote, you know, I've always heard that, you know, coincidences are God choosing to remain anonymous. And that's what I've experienced. I've had so many miracles here in London and just had such a miraculously wonderful time. And, you know, we got to stay at someone's house that we love, and just, it's just like all of these miracles kept happening. And I got to sing somewhere at a party, and it's just like all of these memorable love-filled experiences because I just keep surrendering and praying and asking for help. And I always feel like of myself, I'm nothing, the Lord doeth the work. And, you know, excuse me, I was a devout atheist when I came into the room, and I had that profound experience with a voice that led me to God, the God of my understanding today. And I'm eternally grateful. And I've had so many miracles along the way, and I still get fearful sometimes. It's just, I feel like when I get to heaven, God's going to say, how could you have been fearful? You had so many miracles and so much grace and so much love, you know, that infinite power and love. And so I just get to remember when I get in that fear pocket, I have a solution today. I'm so grateful for the 10th step. I'm so grateful for the 10th step chat group that I'm on, and for all of the people on this line. I just keep reaching up and reaching out, and God keeps taking such great care of me. I'm eternally grateful. God bless you all. It was a very abstinent weekend. My past. Thanks again.
Thanks, Robin. We have time for 2 minutes share. Pete B. All right. Hit it, Pete. Go ahead, bro.
Thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, I don't know anything more today about keeping weight off and being fit and being healthy than I knew 25 years ago. You know, people lose weight the same way, whether they're compulsive overeaters or they're not. And my problem wasn't lack of knowledge. My problem wasn't lack of friends. My problem wasn't lack of resources. My problem was lack of power. See, I ate myself to a position where I lost the power of choice, the God-given power of choice, the ability to make a choice whether to do something that hurts me or not doing something that hurts me. And faced by a self-imposed crisis, I surrendered and decided to ask a power I didn't believe in to remove a merciless obsession that no human power could remove. And you know what? That for me, that obsession was removed. The obsession to continue to hurt myself by something I knew was hurting myself was removed. And I've gained the power of choice by working these steps and aligning my will with God's and doing what I believe my God would have me do. And what I know for certain is that there's no way for me to effectively articulate what that means to me, what that actually has done, if you haven't had that experience. But I also know this, there's no way that you'll be able to convince me that that wasn't the loving and merciful hand of God. The loving and merciful hand of God reached down to me and when I was in desperation and removed the merciless obsession because that's what was required. Because I have a condition that no human power can relieve. But I can't outwork, I can't outthink, I can't outmaneuver, I can't outcontact, I can't outreach around call. Right? The merciless obsession was removed and I no longer suffer by my own hand like I did for decades. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. And thank you to everybody that shared on this meeting. Stick around for the unrecorded hour at the top of the hour. And let me give you today's share ID. Today's Friday, what? November 1st, 2020.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Father. But Russ, what is your last initial and where are you from?
M. Russ M. from Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
Thank you. So November 1st, today, Friday, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,880. That's 21880. That's our share ID for today. And now we'll close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Anita L. is going to read that for us.
Good morning, everybody. I'm in Georgia, Vanita L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.